Hello, welcome. Welcome to another episode of the Indie Founder Podcast, a podcast about what's really like to bootstrap a company. My name is Tiago, and I know that I'm a bit late on my normally scheduled Monday release, but I have a good excuse. This week is the Web Summit week, and I tried to record an episode while driving to the event, but the quality was just not good enough. I'm not very good at multitasking, and I couldn't do both, and there were a lot of dead moments. So I decided to re-record, and therefore the delay. But it's good because I have more content to share. So today I want to talk about automations. I know it's something you like. I know it's something that excites you, excites me as well, and I've automated a few other areas, interesting areas of our business. So I want to talk about that. I want to talk about our office, our new office, how this is going. There are a few hiccups with the negotiations. And I also want to talk a little bit about the Web Summit. Tomorrow is the last day, but I already have some conclusions. And we have done also a really cool experiment. So I'm excited to share that with you. So I don't know, where shall I start? Maybe I'll start with the office, okay? So, as you know, I announced this, I believe, last episode, that we decided to move to our own office space. So, no more co-working. Not because we didn't enjoy the co-working. The co-working was quite nice. There were just one or two drawbacks. The first one is not being ours, so we couldn't do everything we wanted, and it kind of limited a little bit our creativity in a way. And the second one, and I guess the worst one, what really motivated us to leave was the fact that it was a bit noisy. There was a few people that would have loud meetings, and I couldn't stand that anymore. I asked them if they could solve it. They couldn't. So we decided to move to our own space, which is something that I wanted for a long time. So anyways, I think it ended up being good. We found a space here close by and we got very excited. It's a nice space, 75 square meters. And the owner is the typical Portuguese owner. So not the most, how do I put this? I don't want to say sophisticated. It's, maybe it's not normally used to deal with, you know, tech businesses. Normally it lends, or he rents his space to little stores or maybe coffee shops, this kind of stuff. So he's always a bit afraid that the people that he rents the space to might abuse the space, might damage the space. So one of the reasons that he decided to rent to us, and as well for a lower rent than what he was initially asking, was because we wanted to rent for an office space. Because if we would like to start a different type of business, for instance, a coffee place or grocery shop or something, it could damage the space. So that's why he decided to rent that to us. So we were excited, and we are excited, and we move forward with the negotiations. And one thing that I always recommend, and I know it's hard, but I always recommend to anyone that is doing any type of negotiation, is that you must be willing and ready to walk away if the deal doesn't go your way. Now, maybe we did some mistakes because I announced it here. I announced on LinkedIn. I announced to everyone because I guess that's my fault, but it's also the way I work. I get super excited and I'm eager to share even before things are concluded. So this is bad, right? Because it's somehow attaches me to the idea that we will have that space and kind of reduces the likelihood of us walking away. But yeah, that happened and I got really excited, but I'm always aware that we might need to back down, and I still have my filters checking other spaces so that I know that there's other options. That's really important. We got the contract, and there were a few lines that we were not very excited about. Some lines that were even borderline illegal. And with that, I mean one of the lines there said that the landlord could not be responsible for anything that could be damaging the space. Basically, that's what he said. So if we eventually would find, let's say, a broken pipe or something that was not in proper conditions, in that contract, it would say that the landlord wouldn't be responsible for it, therefore wouldn't fix it. That's not legal. So, and one thing about contracts is that you cannot write something that goes against the law. So, at least not here in Portugal. So we asked him to remove that clause plus a few others. And we thought that he would do that because why not, right? We need to be reasonable and work together to find a deal. But he didn't. He said, no, I will not take that clause away. If you think it's illegal, then you wouldn't bother having it there. Plus some other clauses that we were not in agreement. And we do believe that makes the contract a bit unbalanced. We checked with our lawyer. She said that we were right. But at the same time, we kind of understand, we empathize with his view. Because again, he's normally used to dealing with people that might damage the place. And it's kind of hard, especially if you're already asking lower than what the market is offering. Plus, you need to pay taxes. And if someone damages your space, then you'll end up losing money. It can be a big headache. So I understand that he wants to protect himself. With that said, he also was flexible enough to change a few other things. So that made us happy. And I also went down to the shop. And next to the shop we were on a rent, there's another one. And I asked the guy if he knew the landlord, and it turns out he's also his landlord. So I got to ask him if he had any red flags or anything, and he told me no, that the guy is legit. And the previous tenants that were there never complained. And I checked on Google Maps, they were there for multiple years. So that kind of gave us the assurance that that should be fine. We have to, of course, to manage expectations. We know that if there is a small issue, we might need to fix it ourselves, but that's fine. It's fine because, first of all, my co-founder, João, is really good with all of this kind of do-it-yourself things, and I'm sure he will be able to handle it. He has a lot of tools. Plus, I also already know, you know, with managing the building and so on, I know a few people that can help us. So I'm not too worried about it. Plus, the rent is kind of low. And even if you have to pay some extra to fix a few things, I don't think it will be an issue. So we decided to move forward. We are still in line to sign the contract. Now, of course, it's up to him. It was not the most clean of negotiations, right? So we're negotiating through email. And, you know, when things don't go smoothly from the start, it might kind of cause them some damaging in the relationship. Hopefully that will not be the case, but I will let you know. Hopefully next week, if we rented and if we have signed the contract, or if we are still looking for other spaces. In the meantime, I'm getting very excited. It's our space and I'm already having some cool ideas. Plus it's a spot where we can focus and have our own rules and our own hours. And yeah, that's kind of nice. Now, Web Summit, second topic of today's episode, Web Summit. In this edition of the Web Summit, of this conference, we decided to shake things a bit. So, João and I decided to change our dress code. We have thought about that in the past, and this time we took action. And we are always trying new things. I think that's the beauty of entrepreneurship. That's how you learn. It's doing life is about experimenting and learning from those experiments. This time we decided to dress apart. We both got a nice suit, like a blazer shirt, a nice shirt, and decided to see if by updressing or dressing in a more formal way, if it would change the way both people look at us and we look at ourselves. And here's the conclusions. First of all, when I was about to leave the house for the first time, it felt weird. It felt really weird because I'm, you know, normally I just take my pot squeeze t-shirt, some jeans, and I go, and that's it, right? That's also the type of dressing style that you see in any tech entrepreneur, really, and especially indie makers, right? So we, and in our little community, we are kind of against the VC and the suits, and we want to dress in a more alternative way, or at least not so formal way. So it felt a bit weird to go to the tech company, especially because I know that there's people that know me there, right? So I knew that I was going to meet a few people, and they are used to seeing me with my t-shirt and my jeans. So I don't know. I didn't know what to expect. So after kind of trying out a lot of combinations, which is not normal for me, I normally just grab the first things and go, I decided to move forward. So took a blazer, a shirt, and then I still went with jeans and kind of some nice tennis shoes. So I think it was a mix. So it was not super, super formal, but semi-formal, I would say. And so far, what I've noticed, so let's go and analyze in two ways. First of all, what others, if others notice, and if I notice that they treated me in a different way. It's hard to say. We don't have enough data yet. Plus, in this conference, I didn't have a lot of meetings set up, or I didn't have almost any meeting set up. So I think I would still want to test it in a format where we are pitching PodSqueeze. But I did notice a few things. I noticed people treating me in a more formal way. So especially when I was registering, and all the people, the volunteers, they are young, you know, in their 20s. And I tried to think, okay, even though I'm already in my 30s, not that I'm the same age, but we are, you know, both young and we can communicate in a different way. But I did notice that they would treat me in a more formal way. So yeah, there was that difference. And as well, what I've noticed is that when I would approach the booth, you know, on Web Summit, you have a lot of maybe hundreds of startups. And they are presenting their company, their apps in multiple booths. And you go there, you approach them, and you ask them what they think about. You ask them what for them to pitch, basically, right? And they normally pitch, and you ask them questions regarding what are their biggest challenges, whatever you want, right? I'm a curious guy. I'm also an entrepreneur. So it's cool for me to see what they are doing, what are the challenges, and so on. And what I've noticed is that, first of all, they would approach me. So they would approach me because maybe they thought that, I don't know, I was a VC or something like that. Also, I have a media ticket, right? So because I have this podcast, I get a media ticket, and my ticket says media. So they would look at me and say, oh, maybe he's an important journalist. So I had one or two people approaching me in that sense and saying, hey, can you write about my startup? Which is funny because last year I also had a media ticket and no one ever did that. So there's a change. Of course, maybe it was a coincidence. Again, we don't have enough data, but that happened. Another thing that I also noticed, and again, I'm not sure if it's just my impression, maybe because I'm more aware of it, but it seemed that when I was talking with people, also people that I knew, they would just pay more attention to what I was saying, like treating whatever I was saying more seriously. So again, I don't know. It does make a difference. It does make a difference. And when you see someone dressed apart with a suit or someone or something like that, it changes your perspective. So it could be bad or it could be good, right? If they are more or not so formal dressed, maybe they feel more approachable, more down to earth, and it's easy for you to approach them. But if they are more formal, especially if they approach you, you feel, oh, okay, this person is properly dressed. This person probably is important. So I did notice that, and I did notice people asking me about what I was doing and maybe with these expectations. Now, in terms of what I thought about myself, and I think that's probably the biggest surprise is that the fact that I was dressed apart, the fact that I was dressed like a suit, it did influence my the way I saw myself. And I know this is kind of crazy, but often, especially when I was in meetings or in conferences where I'm pitching PodSqueeze, sometimes I feel a bit small. I feel like a kid, you know? And it happened a few times, people treating me like a kid, even though I'm like, even in this conference I went 2 months ago to Madrid, podcast days, a few of the people I pitched PodSqueeze to, I don't know, I had this impression that they would think that this is just a small startup and we are just starting, we are just two kids starting out something. They wouldn't take us seriously. And I didn't really understand that. And sometimes that would make myself look at me and see, maybe I'm just a kid, maybe this is not, which is not true, right? And having this suit is like a special, you know, superhero suit where I changed my perspective about myself. Now, of course, you can and you should do that even without wearing a suit, right? So you should train yourself and trust yourself even without the suit. You should have confidence even without the suit. But it's a good way. It's a good technique if you want to get onto that role of pitching your startup and convincing others. I think dressing apart definitely helps. And I'm curious to try this approach in another type of conference where I have to pitch PodSqueeze. I don't know. Again, maybe this obviously is different for me, for you, for each person. Maybe you already have a lot of confidence in yourself and you don't need this kind of suits. That's great. But I did see a difference in terms of my self-confidence by wearing it. So it was cool. Plus, again, as I was expecting, a lot of the people that I know and that I met noticed that I was wearing a suit. Normally surprised, they're like, hey, Tiago, and you're not growing, but I can see that you have evolved, they said multiple times. Hey, you're evolving. When I first met you, you're just wearing, we even met a few clients. They're like, when I first met you, you're just some kids wearing a t-shirt and some jeans, and now you're already with a suit. And funny enough, we met like last year. So it does make a difference, even the way they looked at you. Now, I don't know if this will help closing more deals. Maybe it will, maybe it won't, I don't know. But yeah, it causes an impression and people notice it. So it's not like it was just another day in the conference. No, it's they noticed that there was something changing. Now, one interesting thing, and changing a bit lines to what I saw at the Web Summit so far, obviously AI everywhere. So I like to, basically when I go to these Web Summits, I normally don't go to the talks because there's a lot of things going on at the same time. And it's really hard even to find what talks are happening. But I just walk around the booths and talk with startups and read their headlines, their age ones. And most of them, of course, had the word AI on it. So again, it's the era of AI. Now, a lot of these startups are GPT wrappers, okay? So, and I do know that in Web Summit, there's a lot of people that invest to go there. But they are still very much in early stages and they probably will not take off. A lot of them don't even have paying users, right? So I know that a lot of these are rappers that probably will not succeed, but maybe others will. So what I've seen everything with AI. I've seen your AI agents, right? So I was just seeing actually one of the few talks I watched was a guy pitching his company. It looked really, you know, he's pitching in the Web Summit. There's a lot of people watching and he's saying about you can now hire an AI agent with this company and so on. At the end of the day, I checked his website. The website was really shit and it was not even ready. So he had to join a waiting list. So it's crazy the hype around the AI that even allows you to go to the Web Summit and talk and have a talk to hundreds of people, even though you have nothing to show. Okay, so yeah, AI agents, a lot of AI agents, a lot of everything. AI cybersecurity, AI testing, like how to automate your tests with AI, AI coding. I even saw, and this was one of the guys that approached me and asked me to write about his startup. I saw a startup on AI therapists. So basically, the idea, similarly to what Peter Level was doing, was that you have an AI therapist where you can talk to and it will help you and so on. Really cool. I think it's a cool idea, especially if it works. There was a bit of backlash with Peter Level's idea because people were afraid. You know, every time you get into the medical areas and so on and health, you need to be aware. You need to be very careful not to do more harm than good. But I don't know, at least the guy told me that they're already making 200K MRR or ARR rather. So, and it was, they started in August, so in just a few months. One really cool startup I've seen, and not in the AI or not doing AI, so at least it was a breath of fresh air, was the startup that was 3D printing human tissues and animal tissues so that you can test new medicine and treatments without having to use animals. So that was really cool. Like, I love this kind of health tech because and pharmaceutical tech and stuff like that, because first of all, it's something that I really don't understand, but something that can be really revolutionary, right? So we get into the areas of treating diseases and, you know, extending your lifespan. And I think all of these are things that are very relevant to all of us, probably much more relevant than a lot of the SaaS that we have out there, right? So it gets me really excited to see these kind of things. And it's surprising that there are not a lot of them, right? Well, maybe it's not so surprising because this is really hard to do, right? It's much easier to do a GPT wrapper than to 3D print human tissues. But yeah, that was quite cool. And once again, I think it's a great experience to go to the Web Summit. It's a lot of people. I've met with some guys that I know. They are Portuguese. They have a company called Get Vocal, and it's a company of AI agents that will help you on sales, customer support, and they're doing really well, it seems. And I talked with one of the guys, and he told me that he was able to close a lot of demos in this conference. They had a booth there, a beta booth. And so for a few, right, if you are maybe a B2B, it can be good and you can make money from this conference. But in general, if you're just visiting, it's just the energy of it, right? There's so many people and there's so many meetups as well and things going after the event that it's crazy. The energy is amazing. Would I pay for it? Depending. Like, I would pay for it again if I had a company that justified me paying because I could pitch my startup and get a lot of deals. As an individual, probably not. But there's always a lot of ways to get free tickets and things like that. So it is a really cool conference. And it's great to have this conference here in Lisbon. It gets me really excited to be able to have it just there around the corner. And see all of these amazing people. I even met the Career Ladder guy. I don't know if you know this guy from YouTube. There's YouTube Shorts and TikTok. Apparently, he's the biggest non-animated show ever or at the moment, something like that. It's crazy. And it's just him with a ladder guessing the other person's job. So he was there, just chilling, super nice guy. He's younger than me. He's like 30. I'm 33 now already, so. And I took a picture with him. So if you follow me on Twitter, WB Tiago, or LinkedIn, you'll see my picture with the Career Ladder guy. So it's always cool when you meet someone that is like super famous and he's just a normal guy, right? He's just a dude. But you change the perspective because, you know, all of the views and things he has. It's crazy. So yeah, that's the Web Summit. I don't know if I will go tomorrow being the last day, but if I do, I will talk about it. Now, the last thing I want to talk about is automations and a few other automations I've been working with. As you know, in the not the previous episode, but the one before, I've talked about my social media automations. Since then, I also developed a short automation. So basically an automation that uses Flarecut, so our own tool, to create YouTube shorts. Maybe I shared that. I already talked about that in that episode. The most recent one that got me really excited is an automation that does the whole like client reach out, scheduling demos, and client management all automated. It's absolutely crazy. So on NA10, and maybe on Make as well and other tools, but NA10, what you can do is you have one thing called the agent node. It's a node where you just import it and then you connect things to it. So first of all, you need to connect the brain to it. You can connect OpenAI brain like GPT. You can connect Claude, whatever. I connect GPT, is the one I use always. And then you just write a prompt there and then you can connect tools. So this uses this MCP server format so you can connect tools. So what I've done is I connected a Google Sheets. I connected its own database. And I connected an HTTP request tool that sends the emails, and I connected GPT. So the way it works is the following. I have a Google Sheet with multiple tabs. The first tab, I have cold outreach. The second one, I have demo scheduled. The other one is client and then churn. Basically, those are the things. And then archived as well. So I just need to put the email of the person I want to reach out, their names, company, some information, and I put it there, and that's it. Then every day, my automation will run, and it will fetch these people, and it will start emailing them and say, the first email, like a cold reach out, I gave it a lot of templates. So I think, of course, I have already a lot of experience with prompt engineering, but in general, I think it's easy. Maybe you need to try out a few options, but I normally just put some examples of emails I've already sent in the past and say, like, adapt this. So it sends it, and then I allow it to be independent in the way of, okay, you can change the text if you think it's relevant. And you decide, obviously, within some guidelines, when to follow up, when to move the client to another tab if something is scheduled and so on. And it's working really well. So basically, it just sends the first email. And then on the Google Sheet, I have a column saying GPT notes. So I tell GPT, like, whatever you do, whatever you're thinking, you write down here so that next time you run, you know what you were thinking before. And that's how it works. And at the moment, it's not connected to the email. So if they do answer, I need to go there, manually add what they answered. If they already scheduled a demo, then the automation will take care of the rest. But it's working really well, is taking these leads, changing them between tabs whenever they need. Like when I schedule a demo, it will send a message before the demo, like the day before, saying, hey, don't forget, tomorrow I have a demo, we have a demo. When a client has churned, it will every once in a while send a message saying, hey, we have just released this new feature. Maybe you want to return. Even for the current clients, we have the automation will eventually ask them if everything is fine, tell them about new automations, new features rather. And the cool thing is that it will do that in whatever the lead's language is, right? So that's awesome. That's really incredible. This is saving me hours and hours of work because I would do this every single day. I would spend maybe 1, 2 hours, 3 hours reaching out to people, doing the follow-up. So now it's doing that, which is incredible. And I just started doing that end of last week. So I still need to wait a little bit to gather my conclusions and see if this actually works, if people answer, if this is closing deals. But it's quite exciting because this is automating distribution and is automating B2B distribution. This allows me to not only for PodSqueeze, but any product we develop, if we want to sell B2B, I have basically an AI agent to do that for me. I don't need to hire people in each language to do this for me. And that's absurd. This is a game changing. So yeah, it's a really amazing automation, really easy to do. It took me maybe 1, 2 hours to get it right. So it wasn't that hard. And yeah, again, don't miss out on NA10. Don't miss out on these type of automations. because they save a lot of time. And especially for us bootstrappers, where time is our biggest asset, this is incredible, right? So now I can go to the Web Summit knowing that my social media posts are being posted, my newsletter is being sent, and my B2B reach out is working, even though I'm not doing it myself. So yeah, very exciting days and times. And if you do have any questions, if you want to talk with me, even if it's just to say that you like this show, I would greatly appreciate for you to shoot me a message on LinkedIn or Twitter. My Twitter handle is WBTiago, and the LinkedIn will also be in the show notes of this episode. And I always try to answer everyone. So yeah, shoot me a message, say hi. And since you are here, make sure to as well leave a like if you are listening to this on YouTube. And if you're listening to this on Spotify, just scroll up. There's a way for you to rate this episode. If you could give it 5 stars, that would be amazing, because allow us to keep going with this show and to get to more indie makers. So please do it. That would be amazing. Thank you very much. I will see you next Monday, and have a great week.